Hello again. We are in our third session of this mini course, and today I want to spend some time with you thinking about behavior strategies and restorative practices, and you'll understand a little more what I mean by that after we get started. So, let's think today about behavior. What are we talking about when we say behavior? What I'm saying is that all behavior is communication. So when you see behaviors coming from a child, you are seeing them communicate something to you. Your job is to figure out what it is they are communicating. So let's spend a few minutes looking at some pictures. Let's look at these pictures and think for a moment what it is that this child could be communicating. This child looks like she is running. Could she be running to someone? Could she be running from someone? Would that be because it's fun? Would that be her being naughty or being good? Is she running away from someone out of fun and excitement or anxiety and fear? What do you see about this that makes you think one of those options? Or perhaps you are thinking something else as you look at this child. How about this picture of kids? As we look at this whole group of children, we could see just from the way they have posed for this, those who are excited about being a part of this photo opportunity and those who are not very excited about this photo opportunity. We can notice a child in the back who is not dressed quite like the others, who looks like maybe they stumbled upon the photo on accident. But as you look at the faces, you look at the body positioning of each one of these children, they are communicating something about their presence in this photo. What do you think each one might be saying through the way they are posed? How about this picture? You look at this boy. What do you wonder about his behavior? Is he enjoying himself? Do you think the person interacting with him is having fun? Do you think this is a tense situation? Do you think he feels comfortable? Some things to think about as you just notice a snapshot of a child. Now, as we think about how children interact with their environment and with us who are trying to disciple and to lead them in their walk with the Lord, in their knowledge of the Holy Spirit, in their relationship with Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in interesting situations sometimes where kids may resist what we are trying to do, or at least it feels like they are resisting. So how do we know when a child is being defiant and difficult, and when they are truly begging for help by this behavior? Well, I want to introduce you to a thought, and that is this. Kids do well when they can. That is a quote from Dr. Ross Green. Now, he has come up with a set of resources, concepts, and ways of interacting with children's behavior called collaborative and proactive solutions. Now, I'm not going to be a commercial for Dr. Ross Green and his work, but I will say that at All Belong, we use a lot of his concepts with children when we work with students in schools, when we work with churches helping to solve these tough situations with children in various ministry settings. And I really do believe that children do well when they can. And if they're not doing well, if their behaviors are disruptive and challenging, maybe even defiant or destructive, that they are communicating there is something that they cannot do well. So the idea being that they want to meet expectations. And when they can't meet expectations, they are left with only a few choices within their toolbox, if you will, if I could use that language, their toolbox of behaviors of how to now cope with the fact that they can't measure up to the expectations being placed on them. So what I encourage you to do as a discipler of children who are wired a little bit differently is to get into your thinking spot. Think. Think along with the child. So come alongside that child. Let's work together and think with that child, what is it that is going on here? So put on your detective hat, put on your thinking, and let's work together with the child. Now, one way you can do that is through a technique called Mind the Gap. So helping kids to mind the gap is a great technique. Now, this concept was actually sort of discovered by a teacher who was in London in England and was riding the tram there in the underground and kept hearing the message, mind the gap, every time he went to get on the tram. And he realized that this was a great strategy for working with his students who have autism. He realized that so many of these students go into a behavior before they mind the gap, before they think about what they're stepping into. So what he did is he created this visual to work with the students through that. So the box on the bottom of this is where you start. It's sort of where your footing is before you engage in this action. You stop and mind the gap. You think about what might happen if I do this or this. And this is where the paths diverge. So on one, you do this, that's the box, and it leads to this consequence, that's the circle at the top. Or you could do this, the box on the right, and it leads to this consequence, which is the circle at the top. Now typically, as we're helping to guide a child through this process, we're thinking, this might be a positive consequence to a positive action, this might be a negative consequence to a negative action. We're not necessarily saying there is punishment involved. We're saying, make this choice, get a result you want. Make this choice, you may not get the result you want. For example, if you accept the snack we are giving and eat it calmly and quietly using the napkin provided, all will go well and we can move on to the next activity that you're excited about doing. Choose to throw the snack all over the room or all over the ground and toss the napkin, well, that means now not only do you not get a snack, but it's going to be more work before we can get on to that next activity because now we have to clean up the snack, we have to apologize, we might have to move some things around in the room, we might have to sit in a separate space for a time to calm down, whatever it might be, right? So that's a pretty simple behavior to think about, but again, something sort of concrete to work with. The idea being that you have something visual and you can draw this on paper or write it in the sand or whatever works for this child to help them to understand they do indeed have a choice in how they will behave. So as we think about this, I want to introduce you to another topic, and you'll notice that this mini course section is called witness, and that comes from this concept based on restorative practices and the International Institute of Restorative Practices. They call this the relationship window. So it's called that because of the shape of it being a box sort of separated into four segments like an old-fashioned window might be. Now the idea being here that we want to be in witness with a child. That's the restorative area, the restorative window. It's the relationship window. It's the section we want to be in. We want to relate with this child and work with them. We want to think with them and support them. So that means that there is high support as well as high control of the situation. Now, here is the thing. If we have high control of a situation but not very high support for them, think back to that comment of Dr. Ross Green. If we have high expectations and not high support, we are putting demands on a child that's very punitive. We're doing things to them and commanding them to do things without supporting them being able to get it done. And I suspect that quite often leads to challenging behaviors where a child is communicating that they don't feel equipped to meet those expectations. On the other hand, if we have high support, but not high expectations, we end up doing a lot of things for children. We might be feeding them, tying their shoes, putting their jacket on, opening the door for them. All of these things we continue to do for them without expecting much from them. What kinds of behaviors does that lead to? Maybe in the short term, great glee and compliance, but in the long term, they're not developing skills that they need, and so perhaps they get more and more unruly or simply less capable over time as other demands in life may be growing, but their skills and their ability to cope with those demands have lessened because you've not allowed them that witness to grow in both the areas of control and support. Now, the final area of this window, of course, is just not doing things at all with the child and being neglectful. And so we want to be the complete opposite of that and be with children. So I just encourage you to think about that relationship window. And as you go through the activities together in this session, think about that relationship window. Now, finally, here are a couple of questions to think through when there is a challenging behavior. And this comes, again, right from the Institute of Restorative Practices. And in fact, they have cards that you can get, or you can go to their website and see these questions at any time. So when an incident has happened, I encourage you to use these questions to help, again, the child think through what has happened, which is why that's the first question. What happened? What were you thinking about at the time? What have you thought about since? Who has been affected by what you have done? And this is that tricky piece for those kids who may not be very good at taking other people's perspectives, right? This might use some coaching, and this might be a teaching moment. And now, what do you think you need to do to make things right? So notice some things about these questions. What you might notice is that in the order, they go from past to present to thinking about the future and what is next. Again, you're doing this with a child, helping them to think through these things, and it might take some time after the incident before we're ready for all of this as a conversation. But I think it's so helpful to think about that. What happened? What have you been thinking about since? What's happening now? And what are you going to do to make things right? And that's the component that is restorative, right? So we could punish a child for making a poor choice, disrupting things, hurting someone else. But what is that teaching them in the long run? It teaches them that they get punished for doing something wrong. Here's something I've learned. That doesn't always stop behaviors. It certainly doesn't help them to know how to make anything better. And I want children in my life that I'm discipling to know how to make things better in their world. I think that that is what God has called us to do as the body of Christ, is to be restorative in this world. So helping children to think about how can they make things right, allow them a chance to now restore the relationship, to make things right after they might have made things not right. So what does that look like as we think about the other side of the story? When we look at what has happened to the individual who maybe has been hurt or the others who have been affected. So to help those who have been affected, we ask, what did you think when you realized what happened? Allow them to express their side of the story. What impact has the incident had on you and others? What has been the hardest thing for you? You hear a lot of just processing questions, right? Helping them to process what they've been through. What do you think needs to happen to make things right? And this is important because we want to know the truth about what would make it right. So if they have been the one that's been hurt by the behavior of the other, it's important to have this information so that that other person can now make it right in the right way. Because that person might think, oh, if I do this, it'll make the situation better. For this person, that might not be the right answer. So it's important to be able to bridge those two. Now, sometimes you'll want to have that conversation with both parties, but sometimes they're not ready for that. So I encourage you to check out the resources about restorative practices that are within this mini course and also at allbelong.org. Now, just a couple of other comments here. Want to think about our use of words when we're challenging a behavior or noticing a behavior that is challenging to us. Less is more when it comes to words. So when you are discipling a child who's expressing some things in a difficult way, and you use lots of words to tell them everything they've done wrong and what needs to happen to make it better, they are not in an actively processing time. So they may end up just wondering what word they were supposed to keep from all of those words tossed at them. Processing is not happening very well when there is a lot of emotion as well. So think about that. Think about the words you do use. I encourage you to say what you want the child to do instead of all the things you don't want the child to do. First, because when you are saying all the things that you don't want them to do, they may not be computing all of those words, right? And so they might only take along the ones that you said F after you said don't. Just a thought. The other piece of this is you tell them all the things not to do without giving them anything they can or should do. They might be wondering, okay, what should I do, right? So instead of saying, don't touch this, don't do that, don't pull their hair, leave that alone, tell them what they should do with their hands. Clap their hands and put them down. Whatever it might be, right? Giving some constructive things to do. Here's just one other thought, and this was something said by a person with autism spectrum disorder. They said, if I didn't see it, you didn't say it, meaning that it doesn't hold true if it doesn't stay visible. Our words don't actually stay in a speech bubble above our heads. So if we can write it down, put it on a sticky note, or somehow make it visual or have an object that can remind them that this is still true, now those words can last, right? So as we think about these things, just a few ideas to get you problem solving and working with children who may present with challenging behaviors. And next session, we'll wrap up with what do we do as these children are growing up?